Hey, everybody. This is Lisa. You found me on Empower Radio. Thanks so much for choosing to be positive now. Really great lady in the studio right now, and fascinating her life and what she does for everybody. This is Lori Lipton, and she is an intuitive consultant and professional coach. Hello, Lori.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me here today.
Absolutely. Intuitive consultant. Methinks that might mean psychic, medium. What is the difference between all those words? And
well, that's a great question and an important one. There is a distinction, and someone who works as a psychic, as I understand it, is an individual who perceives the energy field of another person and interprets that energy field and reports it back to the individual, the client, let's say.
Okay.
A medium is an individual who uses their intuition or psychic abilities to communicate directly with the world of spirit. That could be loved ones who are in spirit, as well as angels and helping spirits or spirit guides. So there's a distinction, and it's important to distinguish between the two. I call myself an intuitive medium because I use my intuition to access and connect in with those who are in spirit to communicate messages of love, light, and healing to my clients.
And when was the first time you knew you were, in air quotes now, different?
Well, about 6 months. No, I was, I always knew. It, as long as I can remember, from a very early age, I seemed to feel and experience the world differently than what I observed others experiencing. And what I mean is that I was able to see energy. I could see it moving and notice that no one else saw what I was seeing.
Okay, stop there for just a second. See energy. Yeah. Are we talking like I see that candle sitting there?
Yeah, that's a great question. No, it didn't look like something physical in front of my eyes, if that's what you're asking
yeah.
me. No, to me, it looked like almost like a glow that was translucent that I knew I could put my hand through, but that I could see with my physical eyes. What I now know is probably not just my physical eyes.
Is it kind of like when you stare at something and you squint your eyes a
yes.
little and the focus sort of goes in and out, but you sort of see something?
It's a great way to explain that. Yes, it looks like that glow that we see around people or when you squint your eyes, exactly. But for me, it wasn't just around somebody. It would be near somebody or around objects. The other experience that I had as a child is that I would be near people and I would know things about them or feel emotions that I knew were something that they were feeling or something that they had experienced. And I had no way to rationalize or explain that.
For example, give me an example of when that happened and what was it that you knew?
I remember being very little and being with a child knowing that they were sick and that I could feel it in my body.
They weren't walking on crutches
or had
bandages all over the place?
Not at all. And in fact, the child was a friend of mine in class, and I kept feeling illness. I could hear it as the word illness, and I felt very weak. A week later, that child was out of school for almost 2 months because he had mononucleosis. And that's something that none of us had ever heard of. I was young enough to have not ever heard of it. And so that was a distinguishing experience for me. And another time, a friend of my parents came to our home, and we were just chatting, and I looked at my mother and said, he's going to be leaving his wife and marrying somebody else. And
just exactly what you want your child to say in
yes.
front of.
I didn't say it in front of
oh,
him.
Oh, okay.
it was a very stirring comment for my mother because she was very close friends with them. And I really had no emotion attached to it. It just kind of blurted out of me as a knowing. And then a couple of months later, he filed for divorce and moved on and remarried. And that kind of thing was normal for me. So it's hard to explain what that's like for other people who aren't experiencing it, but it was like that for me all the time.
And so what did Mama think of little Lori who knew these things?
Not so good.
Really?
No, she was very uncomfortable with the way that I experience the world. And so I learned pretty early to tuck it in and keep it to myself.
How did that affect you?
I would say it made me feel more isolated in the world, which I think a lot of people who have this ability, very natural ability, end up feeling for different reasons. In my case, most likely my mother was highly intuitive herself and had learned to disconnect from that intuition for whatever reasons, that whatever kind of experience mm-hmm. she'd had in her life, and unwittingly sort of passed that on to me. Mm-hmm. And so I learned pretty quickly, this is not the way the world wants us to see things. I wasn't invited out into the world as an intuitive. And so I kind of kept it to myself. And I used to say, I would kind of embellish my experience by saying, you know, well, I read somewhere that
to make it more palatable,
make it acceptable. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wow. Now, are you of the mindset that everybody has it?
Absolutely. I believe that we are born intuitive. It's our natural way of being. It's the most natural way of being. And then we learn to identify with our thinking mind and the physical world. And through that process, we sort of become indoctrinated into a physical way of thinking mm-hmm. and lose connection with our intuition. And in our culture particularly, intuition is not a highly valued sense. So we tend to diminish when we have these intuitive hunches, the gut, you know, tugs, that feeling, that knowing that you just can't explain from any other place. It's not something that's logical or traces linear thought.
Don't you think it's becoming a little bit more acceptable? I mean, with the influx of all the TV shows that we're seeing and, you know, even radio websites or internet websites that are specifically for intuition or psychic ability or all of that. Don't you think it's a little bit more accepted now?
It's amazingly more accepted than the day that I was intuitively moved to begin offering readings for people. There were no television shows about the subject, and it was very much a closeted subject. And when I came out, I felt like I came out of the closet. That's exactly how I felt. I likened it to that experience. It was a very deep emotional moment for me, and still proves to be when I'm out in the normal world introducing myself. I'm a mom. I'm, you know, a regular gal and living a normal life like everybody else. And I respect and understand that it can be uncomfortable for many people. So I try to be as sensitive to people's ideas and beliefs and where they're coming from when I explain the way that I work and how I am.
And she is a regular gal. She's not sitting here in long flowing gowns and jingly jewelry carrying a crystal ball. Okay. And I think that that is the strange perception a lot of people have, is that, you know, if you say you're intuitive, you're this kook, but everybody is intuitive. I tell people it's like a muscle and you have to work it. It's like when you go to the gym, we all have muscles, right? The ones that are bigger are the people who go and work them out.
That's exactly right. And the more we give ourselves that time and the willingness to just get to know our own intuitive muscles and strengthen them, the easier and more natural it becomes. Just like our muscles, that exercise, we eventually go, yeah, I love doing this. This is like the right way. I feel better when I do it.
Yeah. Now, how does somebody get started? If we're sitting there and they're listening and they say, okay, you guys are telling me that I have intuition.
Right.
How do I strengthen it?
It's a great question, and there's probably many ways to do it. Just on your own, I would recommend learning to breathe deeply into your body. Breathing in and of itself elicits the parasympathetic nervous system into a relaxed state, and it allows us to feel a connection to something deeper than just that monkey mind that we call that racing thinking mind.
I like that.
So that's a beginning, learning to breathe deeply and intentionally connect in with the subtle cues that are happening in our body, paying attention to when our gut tightens or our heart opens when we listen and feel into those kind of experiences. And then we actually honor it by acting on that gut tug that says, well, gosh, I don't know why I feel like I should turn right here. My MapQuest is telling me I should go straight. And then you turn right and later you find out you bypassed a traffic jam or something like that. So that we want to practice it, put it into practice it by through simple actions and listening to that, those little tugs. But then there's books that are wonderfully helpful. Sonia Choquette, Doreen Virtue are great advocates for living an intuitive life and very practical down-to-earth tools for doing that. I teach intuitive empowerment courses. So there's different ways depending on what your specific needs are.
Yeah, and you have to just sort of find what works for you.
Absolutely.
If you're a reader, do it. If you're somebody who likes to actually physically hear somebody, see somebody, then go to seminars, talk to other people. And, you know, there's not just one teacher.
There isn't just one teacher, and there isn't just one right way. And, in fact, your intuitive style is your own unique style, just like you are a unique individual. So I've studied with some great teachers. I just recently came back from a weekend with John Holland, who's an
intuitive. Oh, he's great.
He's fabulous.
Yeah.
And funny and amazing. And I've studied with Rebecca Rosen and Doreen Virtue and some really great teachers, Sandra Ingerman as well. And I've taken away a gift from each one of them, but I still have my own style and my own way of understanding the intuitive process and the intuitive world.
Probably a lot of people who've lost their loved ones, that has to be the number one thing people, you know, say to me. I want to be able to talk to my mother or my husband or my child who passed away. That's what I want. So you're telling me, Lori, that if I just breathe deeply, I'm suddenly going to be able to talk to them.
Not necessarily. That's a really good question. There's a couple of thoughts that I have about that. One is that everybody is intuitive. Like, everybody has the ability to sing. But not everybody is born to be an opera singer.
Have you heard me, Lori? Really?
No.
Did you have to out me right here on this interview? Please.
No, I actually live with myself and sing in the shower.
But that's a good point. Some people are going to be better at it than others.
That's right. Everybody's meant to sing. And when you sing, you'll feel better. You will actually expand your energy. Mm-hmm. Everybody is meant to use their intuition. But some of us, for whatever reasons, are born to use it in service of others. I feel grateful that that seems to be the way my spirit has led me. Mm-hmm. And when I do it, I feel uplifted and then see the effects of it. So not everybody is going to be able to breathe deeply and talk to mom who's in spirit. However, everybody can receive messages from mom who's in spirit.
Because sometimes they're in the shape of signs.
That's
exactly. It's not like you're going to stand there and hear someone who's over on the other side talk to you.
Yeah.
It come
fact,
through several ways.
That's an important point, Lisa, because spirit, those who are in spirit, they no longer have vocal cords. So they are not communicating by talking to us like on the movie or the TV show, The Ghost Whisperer or The Sixth Sense. That looks great. I wish that's how it worked. But for us who work with our intuition, we have to discern the energetic messages. So they give it to us in form of feelings, a knowing, telepathic information, as well as symbols that they'll give to us, what we call clairvoyantly.
I liken it a little bit to when you are in the car and you're listening to your radio and you get out of the car and whatever that last song is that got into your head, you suddenly hear that in your head.
You get it.
You don't physically, you know, audibly hear that song, but yet you kind of do. It's in your head.
Right.
So at least when I hear messages, that's the form that it takes.
Perfect. Perfect way to put it. And other ways that people often experience, like all of a sudden you might be cooking dinner or preparing for what you're going to work on the next day. And suddenly you just have a thought about a friend you hadn't thought about them in a long time, or a picture of them, and then voila, they call or send you that email. That's exactly the way intuition comes in. It's just out of nowhere, out of the blue. You just have a knowing,
right,
or like you said, like the song inside your head.
And if you want to help roll it along or strengthen it a little, I always find that when something exciting like that happens, a little bit of gratitude goes a long way. And when that message comes, oh, thank you so much. That's great. and then you move on throughout your day.
It is my mantra.
Nice.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yesterday I did 8 readings.
Wow.
And I just felt blissful. I felt blissful. And after each one, even today, I am eternally grateful that I was able to connect with spirit and bring those connections to my clients. And for whatever gifts they were able to receive, for me to be able to do that and hear them clearly and understand them and communicate mm-hmm. the accurate messages that they want communicated in the way they want them communicated, I can't express that, the depth of that appreciation. And so after every reading, I'm like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's all I see all day long.
So is that how you keep ego out of it? Because I got to imagine it's pretty powerful receiving these messages, giving them to someone, changing their life, and they're suddenly staring at you like you are the all-knowing.
Yeah. Well, that's really hilarious if you know me. So I am not the all-knowing. You know, I consider myself very fortunate to be in the position to relay messages from spirit. But that does not in any way equate with me being some all-knowing, enlightened being. I do my best to surrender my ego. I have one. Of course I have one. I'm by no means am I stating that I'm enlightened or egoless. I have mm-hmm. one. But I know in order to be a clear channel for spirit, I have to knowingly be aware that I have an ego and then do the best that I can to set it aside and allow whatever needs to come through me to come through in service of the highest good of all concern. And that takes practice. Mm-hmm. That takes practice and willingness and humility and the willingness to bump into your own ego and confront it and admit it and keep moving and keep growing.
Because it can be a little bit like a drug. When you hit spot on with someone and everything, all the messages coming through you are hitting every single note with this person. And it is a little bit like a high. Let's be honest about that. Sometimes you really do try and pull ego out of the way, but you get excited. You get excited for the person that they're getting all these messages.
No question.
And then the next person comes in and wah, wah, wah. It suddenly goes downhill. And that's where ego plays a part of it, where it has to be pushed out of the way, because whatever messages are meant to get to that person will.
Yes. And I can't read everybody or know everything. I wish I could. I mean, that would be really fun.
Yeah.
And we'd have a whole other interview. But truthfully, there have been those moments where I love the way you put it, the peanut sound, you don't hear anything, nothing is coming through. And it's incredibly humbling to be able to say, look, the channel's not clear, and take responsibility for that.
And stand strong in your
Absolutely.
Knowing that you're doing the best you can. You're doing what is supposed to happen at that moment.
Exactly. And sometimes I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But I will if I'm willing to explore it. And sometimes it's about me. It can be that I'm tired and I haven't taken good care of myself
mm-hmm.
or I've said yes to doing a reading when I really probably wasn't meant to do that reading.
So if someone is beginning this journey, is ritual or protection necessary?
Well, that can be a loaded question, and I'll tell you why. I feel that when we are aligned with all that is positive, all that is of the truest, highest light love of the universe, however you might define that, you're innately protected. So when you are in that alignment, that in and of itself, when you're speaking the truth, when you're allowing the truth, when you're allowing it to flow through you, you are creating, you are living in harmony with all that will shield you from suffering and or anguish. Does that mean that we're not going to bump into problems in life? No. We will. But will we be able to access that higher resource? Yes, we will.
How does all of this jive with religion?
Well, I would say...
Because the difference, we know the difference of spirituality and religion.
Yeah. For me, they're highly distinct. And but I would say, and I feel it's very important to say this when I teach and when I work with clients, that you can use your intuition to deepen your connection to your religion. If that's the way it serves you, then more power to you. You know, use it to enhance that connection. Whatever your orientation is, whatever your religious path, you can deepen that. It can also expand you into an experience of direct knowing that surpasses what you may have, may currently be experiencing through your religion. So I don't feel that it takes away in any way. It can enhance whatever your religious path is.
And, you know, do what is most comfortable for you.
Absolutely.
At your own pace. Yes. And it is a form of research that you have to do, because if you go to one dentist and you really don't like that dentist, you don't go back to that dentist.
Correct.
You find another one.
That's absolutely right. Listen to your intuition. Be willing to interview, ask questions about who this is. If you're going to have a reading, it's really important to understand who you're working with, the integrity and the background of that individual. What are they bringing to the table? You have the right to ask those questions and know, and absolutely do your research. My work so far, I'm very grateful to say that the clientele that I have built over the past 7 years that I've been doing this professionally has all flowed to me through word of mouth. And I think that in and of itself stands, speaks very clearly about what I'm offering and the way that I work. And that's something to pay attention to. How is the individual you're going to obtaining their clientele? What is their alignment? And exactly like you said, if you have an experience with a dentist and it's not a positive experience, you don't give up dentistry. You don't stop taking care of your teeth.
Yeah.
You can still go and find that which is true for you, that which really serves your highest good. Not everybody's going to be a match for you.
And does paying more money for a reading necessarily mean a better reading?
Not necessarily. I think that the financial investment that you make in having a reading is something that's questionable right now in the market. No, I don't think paying a higher rate guarantees a better reading by any means. I do think you need to look at the whole picture of the individual who's offering the reading. Look at their background. Understand where they're coming from. Some people are doing this full time. They have, just like you,
right,
they have bills to pay, and you know they're trying to make a living by living what their soul is telling them to offer as service to another. So that might be why they're offering a higher reading. Mm-hmm. This is something for us to take in consideration. But there are great readings at all prices.
Mm-hmm. And when you go to get a reading, there are certain things that you need to do when you leave. For example, when you go to see the dentist, you get your teeth cleaned, but then you better make sure that you brush and floss when you leave there. So what things do people need to do once they've received the information and when they leave you?
Well, there's quite a few things that you can do. You know, one, I would say always stop, breathe in, experience your gratitude for the connection that you've made. If you feel that you've received something beyond what your mind can rationally understand, appreciate that you've opened to that experience and that your loved ones have come through or whatever the messages are. That would be a wonderful way to sort of settle into it. And then, like I say to everybody that I offer a reading to, check in and see if it resonates with you. Does this make sense? Does this fit in? Don't just take it at face value. Sit with it. Be with it. Breathe into it. Meditate on it or pray on it if that's more appropriate for you. Journal about it. Take some time to be with it. If you're going to a psychic, it's important to understand that psychics tend to read the energy field and report it back to you as fact. And one of the questionable concerns that I have with that is that energy field changes moment to moment. Your future, what somebody is reading in your energy field and predicting to you as a future, can be altered by what you do right after that reading.
By your action or inaction regarding any myriad of topics.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's something that's really important to understand and use discernment when you're hearing a reading and understand that truly what's being reflected back to you is what's probably being energized in your energy field, what you're putting your attention on and allowing in your energy field, and is a probability or a possibility, but it isn't a definite outcome for you. You have the power to change it. That's really critical.
Well, thank you, Lori. We are so glad you could join us here today. And if you would like to go see Lori or find out more about her, you can go to LoriLipton.com. And on there, you also have some of your classes listed and things like that, right?
Yes, I offer workshops. I teach people how to develop their intuition. I teach about the conscious manifesting process and support people in living a life that's centered in soul.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
My privilege. Thank you.
And remember, everybody, you do have it, and there's nothing wrong with it. And if you want to develop it, you can do it through reading, or maybe you want to connect with Lori at LoriLipton.com. Thanks, everybody, for choosing to be positive now.